6. Captain Absalom was captain over two bands, namely over the blood men that will kill a father or a friend for the glory of his world. Also over those blood men that will hold one fair in hand with words, till they shall have pierced him with their swords. His standard-bearer did bear the red colors, and his scutcheon was the son pursuing the father's blood. 7. Captain Judas was over two bands, namely the blood men that will sell a man's life for money, and also those that will betray their friend with a kiss. His standard-bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was 30 pieces of silver, and the halter. 8. Captain Pope was captain over one band, for all these spirits had joined in one under him. His standard-bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was the stake, the flame, and the good man in it. Now the reason why Diabolus did so soon rally another force after he had been beaten out of the field was, for that he put mighty confidence in this army of bloodmen. For he put a great deal of more trust in them than he did before in his army of doubters, though they had also often done great service for him in the strengthening of him and his kingdom. But these blood men, he had proved them often, and their sword did seldom return empty. Besides, he knew that these, like mastiffs, would fasten upon any, upon father, mother, brother, sister, prince, or governor, yea, upon the prince of princes. And that which encouraged him the more was, for that they once did force Emmanuel out of the kingdom of universe, and why, thought he, may they not also drive him from the town of Mansoul? So this army of 25,000 strong was, by their general, the great Lord Incredulity, led up against the town of Mansoul. Now Mr. Crywell, the scoutmaster general, did himself go out to spy, and he did bring Mansoul tidings of their coming. Wherefore they shut up their gates and put themselves in a posture of defense against these new Diabolonians that came up against the town. So Diabolus brought up his army and beleaguered the town of Mansoul. The doubters were placed about field gate, and the blood men set down before eye gate and ear gate. Now when this army had thus encamped themselves, Incredulity did in the name of Diabolus, his own name, and in the name of the blood men and the rest that were with him, send a summons as hot as a red-hot iron to Mansoul, to yield to their demands, threatening that if they still stood it out against them, they would presently burn down Mansoul with fire. For you must know that, as for the blood men, they were not so much that Mansoul should be surrendered, as that Mansoul should be destroyed, and cut off out of the land of the living. True, they send to them to surrender, but should they do so, that would not stench or quench the thirst of these men. They must have blood, the blood of Mansoul, else they die. And it is from hence that they have their name. Wherefore these blood men he reserved, while now that they might, when all his engines proved ineffectual, as his last and sure card he played against the town of Mansoul. Now when the townsmen had received this red-hot summons, it begat in them at present some changing and interchanging thoughts, but they jointly agreed in less than half an hour to carry the summons to the prince, the which they did when they had writ at the bottom of it, "Lord, save Mansoul from bloody men." So he took it and looked upon it and considered it, and took notice also of that short petition that the men of Mansoul had written at the bottom of it, and called to him the noble Captain Credence, and bid him to go and take Captain Patience with him, and go and take care of that side of Mansoul that was beleaguered by the blood men. So they went and did as they were commanded. The Captain Credence went and took Captain Patience, and they both secured that side of Mansoul that was besieged by the blood men. Then he commanded that Captain Good Hope and Captain Charity and my Lord Will-be-Will should take charge of the other side of the town. "And I," said the prince, "will set my standard upon the battlements of your castle, and do you three watch against the doubters." This done, he again commanded that the brave captain, the Captain Experience, should draw up his men in the marketplace, and that there he should exercise them day by day before the people of the town of Mansoul. Now this siege was long, and many a fierce attempt did the enemy, especially those called the blood men, make upon the town of Mansoul. And many a shrewd brush did some of the townsmen meet with from them, especially Captain Self-Denial, who, I should have told you before, was commanded to take the care of Eargate and Eyegate, now against the blood men. This Captain Self-Denial was a young man, but stout, and a townsman in Mansoul, as Captain Experience also was. And Emmanuel, at his second return to Mansoul, made him a captain over 1,000 of the Mansoulians for the good of the corporation. This captain, therefore, being a hardy man and a man of great courage, and willing to venture himself for the good of the town of Mansoul, would now and then sally out upon the blood men and give them many notable alarms, and enter several brisk skirmishes with them, and also did some execution upon them. But you must think that this could not easily be done, but he must meet with Brutus himself, for he carried several of their marks in his face, yea, and some in other parts of his body. So after some time spent for the trial of the faith and hope and love of the town of Mansoul, the Prince Emmanuel upon a day calls his captains and men of war together, and divides them into two companies. This done, he commands them at a time appointed, and that in the morning very early, to sally out upon the enemy, saying, "Let half of you fall upon the doubters, and half of you fall upon the blood men. Those of you that go out against the doubters, kill and slay, and cause to perish so many of them as by any means you can lay hands on. But for you that go out against the blood men, slay them not, but take them alive." So at the time appointed, betimes in the morning, the captains went out as they were commanded against the enemies. Captain Good Hope, Captain Charity, and those that were joined with them, as Captain Innocent and Captain Experience, went out against the doubters, and Captain Credence and Captain Patience, with Captain Self-Denial and the rest were to join with them, went out against the blood men. Now those that went out against the doubters drew up into a body before the plain, and marched on to bid them battle. But the doubters, remembering their last success, made a retreat, not daring to stand the shock, but fled from the prince's men. Wherefore they pursued them, and in their pursuit slew many, but they could not catch them all. Now those that escaped went some of them home, and the rest by fives, nines, and seventeens, like wanderers, went straggling up and down the country, where they upon the barbarous people showed and exercised many of their Diabolonian actions. Nor did these people rise up in arms against them, but suffered themselves to be enslaved by them. They would also after this show themselves in companies before the town of Mansoul, but never to abide in it. For if Captain Credence, Captain Good Hope, or Captain Experience did but show themselves, they fled. Those that went out against the blood men did as they were commanded. They forbore to slay any, but sought to compass them about. Now when Diabolus saw that the captains were come out, and that so valiantly they surrounded his men, he concluded that, for the present, nothing from them was to be looked for but blows, and the dints of their two-edged sword. Wherefore he also falls on upon the prince's army with all his deadly force, so the battle was joined. Now who was it that at first Diabolus met with in the fight, but Captain Credence on the one hand, and the Lord Will-be-will on the other? Now Will-be-will's blows were like the blows of a giant, for that man had a strong arm, and he fell in upon the election doubters, for they were the lifeguard of Diabolus, and he kept them in play a good while, cutting and battering shrewdly. Now when Captain Credence saw my lord engaged, he did stoutly fall on the other hand, upon the same company also, so they put them to great disorder. Now Captain Good Hope had engaged the vocation doubters, and they were sturdy men, but the captain was a valiant man. Captain Experience did also send him some aid, so he made the vocation doubters to retreat. The rest of the armies were hotly engaged, and that on every side, and the Diabolonians did fight stoutly. Then did my lord secretary command that the slings from the castle should be played, and his men could throw stones at an hair's breadth. But after a while, those that were made to fly before the captains of the prince did begin to rally again, and they came up stoutly upon the rear of the prince's army. Wherefore the prince's army began to faint. But remembering that they should see the face of their prince by and by, they took courage, and a very fierce battle was fought. Then shouted the captain, saying, "The sword of the Prince Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Credence." And with that Diabolus gave back, thinking that more aid had been come. But no Emmanuel as yet appeared. Moreover, the battle did hang in doubt, and they made a little retreat on both sides. Now in the time of respite, Captain Credence bravely encouraged his men to stand to it, and Diabolus did the like as well as he could. But Captain Credence made a brave speech to his soldiers, the contents whereof here follow. "Gentlemen soldiers, and my brethren in this design, it rejoiceth me much to see in the field for our prince this day so stout and so valiant an army, and such faithful lovers of man's soul. You have hitherto, as hath become you, shown yourselves men of truth and courage against the Diabolonian forces, so that, for all their boast, they have not yet much cause to boast of their gettings. Now take to yourselves your wonted courage, and show yourselves men even this once only, for in a few minutes after the next engagement, this time, you shall see your prince show himself in the field. For we must make this second assault upon this tyrant Diabolus, and then Emmanuel comes." No sooner had the captain made this speech to his soldiers, but one Mr. Speedy came post to the captain from the prince to tell him that Emmanuel was at hand. This news, when the captain had received, he communicated to the other field officers, and they again to their soldiers and men of war. Wherefore, like men raised from the dead, so the captains and their men arose, made up to the enemy, and cried as before, "The sword of the Prince Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Credence." The Diabolonians also bestirred themselves and made resistance as well as they could. But in this last engagement, the Diabolonians lost their courage, and many of the doubters fell down dead to the ground. Now when they had been in heat of battle about an hour or more, Captain Credence lift up his eyes and saw, and behold, Emmanuel came. And he came with colors flying, trumpets sounding, and the feet of his men scarce touched the ground. They hasted with that clarity towards the captains that were engaged. Then did Credence wind with his men to the townward, and gave to Diabolus the field. So Emmanuel came upon him on the one side, and the enemy's place was betwixt them both. Then again they fell to it afresh, and now it was but a little while more, but Emmanuel and Captain Credence met, still trampling down the slain as they came. But when the captain saw that the prince was come, and that he fell upon the Diabolonians on the other side, and that Captain Credence and his highness had got them up betwixt them, they shouted. They so shouted that the ground rent again, saying, "The sword of Emmanuel and the shield of Captain Credence." Now when Diabolus saw that he and his forces were so hard beset by the prince and his princely army, what does he, and the lords of the pit that were with him, but make their escape and forsake their army, and leave them to fall by the hand of Emmanuel and of his noble Captain Credence? So they fell all down slain before them, before the prince, and before his royal army. There was not left so much as one doubter alive. They lay spread upon the ground dead men, as one would spread dung upon the land. When the battle was over, all things came into order in the camp. Then the captains and elders of Mansoul came together to salute Emmanuel, while without the corporation. So they saluted him and welcomed him, and that with 1,000 welcomes, for that he was come to the borders of Mansoul again. So he smiled upon them and said, "Peace be to you." Then they addressed themselves to go to the town. They went then to go up to Mansoul, they, the prince, with all the new forces that now he had brought with him to the war. Also all the gates of the town were set open for his reception, so glad were they of his blessed return. And this was the manner and order of this going of his into man's soul. First, as I said, all the gates of the town were set open, yea, the gates of the castle also. The elders, too, of the town of Mansoul placed themselves at the gates of the town to salute him at his entrance thither, and so they did. For as he drew near and approached toward the gates, they said, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And they answered again, Who is the King of Glory? And they made return to themselves. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, etc. Secondly, it was ordered also by those of Mansoul that all the way from the town gates to those of the castle, his blessed majesty should be entertained with the song by them that had the best skill in music in all the town of Mansoul. Then did the elders and the rest of the men of Mansoul answer one another as Emmanuel entered the town, till he came at the castle gates with songs and sounds of trumpets, saying, They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. So the singers went before, the players on instruments followed after, and among them were the damsels playing on timbrels. Thirdly, then the captains, for I would speak a word of them, they in their order waited on the prince as he entered into the gates of Mansoul. Captain Credence went before, and Captain Goodhope with him. Captain Charity came behind with all of his companions, and Captain Patience followed after all. And the rest of the captains, some on the right hand and some on the left, accompanied Emmanuel into Mansoul. And all the while the colors were displayed, the trumpets sounded, and continual shoutings were among the soldiers. The prince himself rode into the town in his armor, which was all of beaten gold, and in his chariot the pillars of it were of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it was of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of the town of Mansoul. Fourthly, when the prince was come to the entrance of Mansoul, he found all the streets strewed with lilies and flowers, curiously decked with boughs and branches from the green trees that stood round about the town. Every door also was filled with persons who had adorned every one their forepart against their house with something of variety and singular excellency, to entertain him withal as he passed in the streets. They also themselves, as Emmanuel passed, did welcome him with shouts and acclamations of joy, saying, Blessed be the prince that cometh in the name of his father Shaddai. Fifthly, at the castle gates, the elders of Mansoul, namely the Lord Mayor, the Lord Will Be Will, the subordinate preacher, Mr. Knowledge and Mr. Mind, with other of the gentry of the place, saluted Emmanuel again. They bowed before him, they kissed the dust of his feet, they thanked, they blessed, and praised his highness for not taking advantage against them for their sins, but rather had pity upon them in their misery, and returned to them with mercies, and to build up their Mansoul forever. Thus was he had up straightway to the castle, for that was the royal palace, and the place where his honor was to dwell, the which was ready prepared for his highness by the presence of the Lord Secretary and the work of Captain Credence. So he entered in. Sixthly, then the people and commonalty of the town of Mansoul came to him into the castle to mourn and to weep and to lament for their wickedness, by which they had forced him out of the town. So they, when they were come, bowed themselves to the ground 7 times. They also wept, they wept aloud, and asked forgiveness of the prince, and prayed that he would again, as of old, confirm his love to Mansoul. To the which the great prince replied,